We're continuing with our keys to liberty, taken from the framework of Freedom in Christ series. And we've gone through 2 weeks. This is the third week, and Rob will be up next week, and then there's others going to be following on. And so I'm in my third sermon of the series. And this week we're going to focus on. And it's incredible. It's like when you read it and study and look at it, it's nearly like a conspiracy theory. But yet when it unfolds in front of you, you go, my goodness, that's why I think this way. This is what is always thrown at me to condition me to think a certain way, to look at the world a certain way, to look at myself a certain way, and to look at God in a certain way. And I want to put up the scripture, Romans 12:2. This is our focus verse for this session today. It says this: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. His will is good. His will is pleasing. And His will is perfect in every way. People say all of the time to me as a leader, what's the will of God of this? What's the will of God of that? Like, as if we want someone all the time to come through to tell us what you have every access to know. Do you get me? We're looking for a mediator between us and Jesus. Well, maybe the leader will know. But the Bible says that as our mind is being transformed from the thinking of this world, which, what does that mean? That we were all brought up in a society, in a family, in a town, in a city, in a nation, and the culture of that nation and the times that we are living in conditions us to think a certain way. And the system of this world is effectively opposed to God. Not the people of the world, the systems of this world is to condition us to actually live in self-sufficiency, so that we don't need God. And so when I refer to the world in this sermon, that is the definition I want you to think of. I want us to understand that we need to make a definite, conscious decision to turn away from what the world teaches us and choose to believe what God says about us. Exactly what's been reinforced that Gail said, and what's been reinforced over all the weeks, all these months. Believe what God says about you. I remember a woman from the flats, her name was Mary. She came into some connection with Jesus on May the 1st, way back, 1990, I think it was, 1991, when Lewis Palau was here, if anyone remembers Lewis Palau here, May 4th, 2nd, and 3rd. And she'd gone to the evangelistic event, and she came back to me, and Mary was about 6 foot tall and about 16, 18 stone. If Mary gave you a clatter, you knew, you know. So Mary bangs down my door, and she had a real high voice. Noel! Like, oh my goodness, I thought someone was killing her. And I went out to the door. I met Jesus or something like this, you know. And she says, I want you to tell me about this, and I want to know about this. And like, she was manic, like, just rah, 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 rah. Hang on, Mary. She wouldn't hang on. I stood up on the step to get the same height as her. Looked her in the face. Mary, relax. She didn't relax. I took her in a headlock. No. I just made that beer up for her. I says, Mary, relax. What do you want to know? And I says, and in the conversation, I says, Mary, I will not tell you anything that is not in the Word of God. I won't give you my opinion. I won't give you what my philosophy is about things. What I can tell you that's in the Word of God, I'm not going to bother. But if you want to know about life's questions, I'm going to tell you, but from God's point of view. Not my worldview, not your worldview, not the worldview that is beamed into our sitting rooms or focused in our media, but what God has to say. Because I said, that's what's really, really going to matter. You see, the world that we grew up in influences how we look at life in particular ways. And it causes us to see things as true. That this is where I'm from, what I believe, this is all I was brought up with, therefore it is true. But it doesn't always stack up to what the Bible says is true. For instance, when I grew up in Dalton's Barn, whether it was spoken or not, although it was spoken, that the police was our enemy. Now, growing up in that environment, that was a true statement in my life. But it wasn't true. But to me, it was exactly true. If someone says to you that you're stupid, and it's been reinforced, it becomes a truth that it's not really true. But to you, and the way you're acting out of it, it's a truth. So we've been dictated to and governed to by all types of systems and attitudes and philosophies, and most of them take God out of the equation. We're influenced just because we live in this world with truths that are not always truths. Paul says in Ephesians, he says that we were dead in our transgressions and we were dead in our sins, in which we used to follow the ways of this world. Therefore, we were influenced by the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Speaking of the demonic influence that's behind the system of the world to take people away from focusing or engaging with God. So Paul says, look, we're all underneath the influence, because we were living under the influence of being sinners, of thinking a certain way, and the way we grew up in this world. The world always comes up with the idea of being self-sufficient, self-reliant. We buy into religious systems that don't need God. We buy into religious situations where we can tick all the boxes. Blah, 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 blah. I do my duty, but God is not in the house. We just do our religious duty so that it makes us feel good, but God is not there. And then there's other direct opposition in the world, persecution, religious systems and ideas and ideologies that are so designed to keep people in bondage. And then there's direct opposition from demonic activity. So some ways this world plays out in our life, and we want to look at some of them. The one the world's promises is that the world will meet our deepest needs. See, everything that we learned the last 2 weeks, that we are people in God that have security and acceptance and significance. But when Adam gave everything away, we came under that we don't feel secure and we don't feel significant and we don't feel accepted by God. But when we become Christians through Jesus, then all of that stuff is being restored into our lives, that we can be fully significant, 100% accepted, and have security in God. But the world has a way of saying, we will meet your need, we will meet your need. They tell us what height to be, and then they say, now get an operation to be that height. Do you know what I mean? They tell us what to wear to get the girl, or the perfume to get the guy, and then they sell it to us. If you get this, you will feel secure. If you get this, you will feel accepted. Everything that I'm lost, that we've been given back. But you don't hear this in the world system. You'll never see Coca-Cola coming out at Christmas with a Christmas campaign saying, Jesus is the real thing. You'll never hear Coca-Cola coming out with an ad campaign saying, instead of Christmas is coming or the holidays is coming, Jesus is coming. You can never imagine the news announcing that the good news is that Jesus died for us all. The image gurus will never come out and say, it doesn't matter what you wear, just be yourself. They'll always tell us what we need for security and acceptance and significance when we already have it in Christ Jesus. And what happens is it's the orphans telling the orphans, if you smell like this, and wear these things and look like this and possess this, you won't have to be an orphan. But you can dress an orphan and you can put makeup on an orphan. But if it doesn't know the love of the Father, it's still an orphan. And orphans try to tell us how to find significance and security and acceptance. But they don't know, because they're living out of that world system as well. In the world, performance and accomplishment equals significance. Status and recognition in the world equals security. Appearance and admiration in the world gives us a sense of acceptance. But they're not true, because without that spiritual connection with God, We will always follow the world's ways of trying to gain security and acceptance and significance. And the way this happens is through what 1 John 2 says. Listen to this. 1 John 2:15 to 17. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Speaking about this world system. Speaking about what the world wants us to get, go after and kill ourselves trying to get and stepping on people trying to achieve. He says, don't go after that stuff. He says, if anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't know about you, but when I used to read 1 John, I was reading it through a wrong set of eyes, and it was nearly like I was reading it through, and I was reading it through an orphan's eyes. There, if I love this world, the love of the Father is not in me. So, my goodness, what's that all about? If I love football, it's the love of the Father not in me. And I used to feel condemned by the scriptures. Well, this is not what he's saying. He's saying that if you are finding your significance or security or acceptance the way the world tries to tell us to gain it, he says the love of the Father is not touching that area of your life. Do you get me? Say you get me. Jay got me. So if I'm chasing, just get another car, another house, another dollar, another job, and then I'll have security. The love of the Father hasn't touched my area in security. Are you with me? If I'm trying to gain acceptance by just doing and 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 doing just to get you to love me, the love of the Father hasn't touched me in the area of acceptance. So he's saying, do not love the world or go after it, because you can go after that. And maybe it's a good measurement for me. That if I'm going after those things, it gives me a good indication where the love of the Father hasn't touched me. And then I go back to the Father and I say, Father, your word says that you lavish love upon me. And obviously I've blocked you out, or I'm living out of a worldview that is wrong. Can you let your love just invade, liberate, set me free, set me right, so that I don't chase after the things of this world, gaining the things that I already have in Christ Jesus. Prodigal son didn't get the robe to make him a son. He got the robe because he was a son. We can chase after the world, look at the robe, and the Father's like, I've a big, lovely robe for you. It's yours. You don't have to gain it. You don't have to earn it. It's yours because you're mine. And it says this in 1 John 2:15. The way these channels work in our lives, how the world gets us to go after it. So listen to it all in its entirety. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We know what that means, yeah? For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man or woman who does the will of God lives forever. And it shows here three channels in which the world attracts us. It's the same three channels that Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. The lust of the flesh. I want. If you have this, you will get this. That's what he done with Adam and Eve in the garden. You'll be like God if you just have this. If you just go after this. And when we allow the lies of the world to appeal to our flesh, we will build up unhealthy patterns in our life. Like if we fall for the lie of, if I just eat food, I will have comfort. We all been there. Give me a bar of chocolate, honey. I want to comfort myself. But if we fall for that, we will build up a pattern that's unhealthy for our lives. And then the world will put adverts on the telly saying, if you eat this chocolate, you'll get the comfort without the way. It bombards us with images. Eat this, do this, and you will find comfort. The lust of the flesh, going after that thing that we think will meet the need that only God can meet. The lust of the eyes. The world works through the lust of the eyes. It shows us things and then tells me that will meet my need for security and significance and acceptance. Usually comfort eating is usually a woman's thing. But when you see the lust of the eyes, it's usually a man's thing. That's why pornography is so rampant. Because the lust of the eyes, it tells us, like, you can meet the intimacy if you just look. But it's a lie. And if we fall for that lie, well, then an unhealthy pattern builds up in our lives. Or the pride of life. If we feel that we gain acceptance and by boasting what we have or what we haven't got, or not what we haven't got, we always boast what we have and name dropping. We're meeting a need through just acceptance momentarily. Oh, I was talking to Didier Drogba last week. What? Or Torres, as he put in that goal. Hey, I've been waiting a long time. Chelsea have been brutal. But we name drop just to go, wow, build ourselves up, build our own image up. What John is saying, you just need the love of the Father to touch you in that area so you don't have to do that. But we also have to be aware that this is where the enemy caught Adam and Eve out. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We need to be careful. And you know what, when you give a bit of thought into these things, you realize, man, I've been susceptible and vulnerable to these things. This week I was vulnerable to these things. These things I had to catch me. What are you doing that for now? Father, will you touch me in that area? I'm sorry. I don't want to be looking for acceptance of man. But we all have a worldview. And the worldview looks real to us in that moment. And the worldview is the filter that we push everything through. We filter everything in life. Everything goes through the worldview. The worldview is designed and created a reality, a picture that is painted, that is real for us. We have a worldview, and it's a filter where we see reality. And it's designed by our upbringing, our background, the country, town, community, family, schooling, experiences, all contribute to our worldview. Everything that gets passed through our worldview, everything goes through our worldview as a filter, because it helps us to work things out. How does this happen? What's going on in these things? But if our own worldview is faulty, it leads to faulty judgments. And what happens in our lives. So our worldview is faulty. We will make, because that's the filter, we will make judgments based on what comes through that filter. But if it's faulty, we're going to start making wrong judgments about our lives. Are you still with me? The most common picture of reality that the world feeds people is called Annanism. Which is it's not dominant in the West, but it is in other parts of the world. It's a belief that our lives are controlled by a universal power that runs through everything. It runs through animals, vegetables, and minerals. It runs through spirits of many types. And you can find this worldview all over the world, but it's not the one that's most prevalent in the West. For instance, in this worldview, if you had something bad happen to you, you'd pass it through that filter of that worldview, and it would make sense. And this is the sense that would make. The sense it would make is that somebody somewhere is manipulating the universe and the spirits against me. And people in the part of the world where this is most prevalent, they will go to a shaman or a witch doctor to say, look, I'm going to pay you now to re-control or control the atmosphere or the powers that are coming against me. If you live like this, with this worldview, you live in a lot of fear. Because you think, if I do something bad on this person, they're going to turn the spirits against me. And I've been with enough people from different parts of the world to know how real this worldview is and how much fear it brings into people's life. The Western world is a bit different. We sort of negate. We don't go to witch doctors. And we don't go to shaman, but we go to logic. And we try to reason everything out. We try to make sense of everything. We try we believe in the Western worldview, we believe that there is a spiritual world out there. We don't let it influence us. As someone said, I believe in God, but I'm a practicing atheist. This is the worldview that many of us have been brought up. We find it easier to profess intellectually a belief in God and existence of the devil, but then we live out our lives as if none of this exists. The Western position puts us into this place of we only really believe what we see, what we feel, and what we can measure. And then there's what they call the postmodern view of the world. And basically what I want to that's a big subject in itself. But basically, what I want to get out of this worldview says, it doesn't matter what you believe. As Dougal says, we're all going to heaven. It's a worldview of, look, if you believe this and you believe this and you believe this, it's all right. You can believe three different things. Therefore, if I don't agree with what you believe, you call me intolerable. If I don't agree with your lifestyle, you go, you're judging me. And this worldview brings us into all types of troubles. But it's also a great opportunity for us to share the good news, because this world believes that your truth is your truth, and you can have your truth no matter where it ends up. But if I disagree with your truth, I'm intolerable. But the Bible says there is truth that is absolute. There is truth. In fact, God's book, the Bible, is the revelation of truth. So it doesn't matter what people believe about heaven or hell. What the Bible says is truth is what's going to happen. Just because I believe something doesn't mean that's going to be what the end result is. Like, for instance, I was in Bradford one time, and I went over on my own. I got the boat over to Holyhead, drove from Holyhead up to Bradford to a conference. Nightmare in Elm Street. Like, flying up these roads, you know, you don't want to build them or whatever. And eventually I got there, and I was there for 3 days. And on the way back, I had to come to this roundabout that had about 8 exits off it. And you think, now this was before sat-navs, and I had the AA roadmap in front of me, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. And I went to, I was like, oh, that's the one, heading for there. And I went through, about 20 minutes into it, no, that's not it. I had to come back to the roundabout. 3 times I'd done this. And in the end, this is what I said. Can you imagine? This reduced me to think this way. I took this exit for Leeds, and I says, I'm just going to believe that this is the right way. I'm just going to believe. I just don't care if there is or isn't. I'm believing there is. I'm in the car doing this. 40 minutes into my journey, it wasn't the right way. It doesn't matter what you believe. If it's not the right road, it's not the right roads. No matter how hard you believe, you can be at your steering wheel. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. But if it's not the right road, you're not going to Wales. But this world will tell us now, the Pope's modern thinking is, you can go any exit and you get to Wales. No, you won't. Because where you go after you live or die, and being at a funeral yesterday, that question is in everyone's mind. Doesn't matter what you believe, it's God's world's view is the one that we have to believe in. Amen. Someone can say, like, why do we believe God's worldview? Because he made it. Because he is not just a truth. The Bible says he is truth. He is life. He is the way. Exactly. John 14:6. That he is the way. He's not a truth of other truths. And he designed the world, and he designed the way we act, and he's designed the way we go. Why? Because he made us. And the manufacturer knows best how to make the creation operate. Like, if you get into a car and you go, I don't care what the manufacturer says, I'm going to put my foot on the middle pedal, and I'm going to go forward. Doesn't matter what you believe. If you put your foot on the middle thing, you're not going anywhere. Because that's the brake. But if you do what the manufacturer says you'll do, you go forward. I'm going to get on my computer today, and I'm going to press delete, believing that delete is not really delete. I don't care what the manufacturer says. I believe it's saved. And you put your paper up there and see what happens. The manufacturer knows what he created and how it works and the way it should work. And some of us take mix and match, because at the core of who we are is what we will act out of when push comes to shove. That's why the transforming of the mind is so important. Because when that's changed, the core values are changed. And then when the push comes and the rubber hits the road and the hard days come, it won't be, I'm going back to my witch doctor. Or I'm going back to get the perfume they told me I'll be accepted. Make me accepted. You know, who I am is who God made me. And I believe what he says in his word is truth. And therefore, I'm sticking with him. We can't go, you know, like, it was a pastor in Africa, actually, and there was a church being, planted by a missionary. It was being handed over to a local, and they were going for a job interview. And although this man that went for the interview was a pastor, in function and working as a pastor, his core beliefs hadn't changed. His worldview hadn't changed. So he went to the witch doctor to get a charm for him to get the job in the church. Why? Because there was the core of his worldview didn't change. The biblical worldview had not been penetrating into everything that he was. And if that's the biblical worldview doesn't go in, we will go back to what we always knew as by default. That's how important the Bible is. That's how important knowing the Bible is. That's how important God coming into just not just areas that touches on the outside, because he wants to get into the inside. And the reason why you became a Christian is really, really important in developing this. And here's some people become Christians, and maybe one of them describes us. I became a Christian because I believe Christianity seems to work. Amen. I believe because of what I experience leads me to feel that Christianity is true. Or you believe that Jesus is the only way to God for all mankind, everywhere, at any time. Or you say, I simply made a decision that Christianity is true for me. See, some people come in because, well, it seemed to work for Johnny. He's not angry anymore. Some people come in and say, it feels nice. Some people come in with just like, I make an intellectual decision that Christianity is true. See, if you come into the Lord with those views, they need to be changed, because the reason you come in is because Jesus is the only way. And it's the only truth and the only life. See, because feelings can change. So if you come in just because it feels good, what happens when I disappoint you or offend you? Doesn't feel good anymore. Maybe the witch doctor make me feel good. Maybe the fashion guru will make me feel good. Maybe a bar of chocolate will make me feel good. So if it's just about feelings, or if it seems to be true, or seems to have worked for someone else, then what happens when it doesn't seem to have worked for someone and they walk away? It brings you on shaky faith ground. But you come in knowing, believing, trusting, experiencing that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Your faith won't be shaky. Amen? Amen. Amen. I can't believe I'm going to finish on time because I had loads of notes. And each of us has to come to a place that causes us to say, my worldview is my worldview, but I'm bringing it into alignment with God's worldview. And I'm going to let his worldview invade, overtake my worldview. But to do this, we have to give him permission. We have to consciously say, Lord, I want the way you see me and the way you see this world to be the way I see me and I see this world. Therefore, we're more than conquerors. That's what we will move out of to take this city. I'll tell you what God is doing to us. He's actually getting us prepared for something. These are not just things that are like, oh, wow, because this feels very dry to me. I don't know about you, but it feels very dry. But I know the truths in this, that if we get them and an orphan walks in that door, they won't meet another not orphan thinker. They'll go, my goodness, what happened to you? My goodness, why are you not talking the way I'm talking? And someone comes in and they're throwing around their wealth, and they're throwing around their name dropping, and you're looking at them going, do you know how insecure you feel and look right now to me? Why? Because you've changed. Because you're not chasing after that for your security or your significance or your acceptance. Do you know why I'm so cool? I am joking in some ways, but I'm not. Because I don't try to be cool. Do you know why I feel secure in lots of ways? Because I'm not chasing after that for my security. Do you know why I feel totally 100% accepted by God? Because I am. And I tell you, that makes us the light of the world. that makes us attractive. I'm the most attractive man in the city. I'm also deluded, but that's what makes us. That's what people say, what's happened to you? That's why people come up, honestly, I've had people come up and put money in my hand. True, I'm like, what is that about? Those who chase and try, chase, to even please God, they don't get what they should have when we just say, okay, I'm God's and God's is mine. That we're not overemphasizing, like, we want healing more than we want Jesus at times. But when you have Jesus, you're secure in whether you're healed or not. Do you get me? Because his love is not dependent to me on whether that stuff is there or not. Although I want it 100%. It's beyond it. It's deeper than that and wider than that and taller than that. It's incredible when we get some of it. That it's like you walk into a town, you walk into a place and it's like people are looking at you. I said to Sharon, when people look at me, they go, my, that boy is ugly. And I've gone from that to, I must be really handsome. Because people look at me. I thought it was because I was driving the Lexus and all the young fellas think I'm a homie. The police think I'm a drug dealer. But I think people look at us and go, what is it? They can't put names on it. They can't put language on it. But there's something on us. And the more we come into God's worldview, the more that shines. And people, you know what? We won't have to do evangelistic events. They just come to us saying, I want what you have. I want what you have. We were at that funeral yesterday. And there was money in the room. And there was security in the world noise in the room. And there was wealth in the room. We haven't got that much happening. Because what you had, you couldn't give it. And all this world security couldn't take it. What you had, you couldn't give it. Amen. And here's the beauty. He wants to give it all to us. The Bible says, Jesus said, I confer unto you a kingdom. I confer unto you a kingdom. He gives it to us unreservedly. He doesn't hold back saying, sorry, just wait till you're a bit more. He gives and gives. And I don't know where you are with God this morning. But if you don't know him, I want to tell you you're an orphan. And from a guy who used to be an orphan, I want to say, come home. Come on home. The Father is not waiting there to browbeat you. He's just waiting there to love you. He's waiting there to bring you into your inheritance. He's waiting there to say, look, son, I'm going to show you what it is to feel the significance of being my kid. I'm going to show you what it is to be totally secured and totally accepted in my kingdom. I'm going to show you this. But the thing is, like the prodigal son, you have to come home. We met a lady at the funeral yesterday, a dear lady that we knew 10 years ago. And Sharon spotted her. She used to come to church when we were in St. Mark's. Sharon spotted her. She knew that the girl had died through cancer patient in hospital. And Sharon spotted her and ran over to her. And Sharon told her, she was sobbing. She said, Sharon, I feel like a prodigal. She comes over to me. So grateful that Sharon spotted her. Sharon is an eagle eye. Eagle eye. And she came over to me and she said, no, it's great to see you. I gave her a hug. She was sobbing. And she says, I feel like the prodigal. I says, come on home. Come on home, honey. And maybe you're this morning, you feel like that prodigal. And all I want to say, just close our eyes. And you're like, you know what? I've chased this world. And I've tried to find security and significance and acceptance. We all know the lengths we'll go to do this stuff, don't we? To find this stuff. Don't we? We all know we've done stuff we've given ourselves away. We've punished ourselves. We've done all types of stuff to gain what God wants to give us freely because his son paid the price for us. And I want to tell you, you can stop running, you can stop chasing now. You don't have to search for. You know what? People in this world, they're putting needles in their lips and for Botox to have nice lips. That's going to wear it out. You can't find acceptance with that stuff or cosmetic face stuff. You can't. And the Father's offering us for the prodigals that are away, but also for the prodigal son, who the other brother was an orphan, even though he was living in the house. And the Father says, look, he says, I'm outside, I've done all this, you never give me anything. And the Father says, everything I have is yours. So you might be the prodigal without, but you might be the prodigal within and say, I don't feel significant. Father, the love of God hasn't touched me in that area. I want to give you a chance to come forward. Say, I need to be touched by the love of God in an area. I don't need to know the area the Father knows. But if that's you, without any music, without anything, why don't you just step up? If you've been far away from God and you feel like that, you're the prodigal and you're just like, I'm going home. I'm going home to God. Just stand up. Come up. Quickly. Don't wait. Don't think yourself out of something that's significant. There you go. If you've never given your life to God, this is how you do it. It's not a big ceremony, religious thing. It's like, here I am, God. I accept your life. Here's my life. That's as simple as we can get it. I'm sick of searching for significance elsewhere. I'm sick of running after this world system and finding dead-end streets and cul-de-sacs and black-and-white dreams. And I'm sick of that stuff. I'm coming home. The Bible is true. The Bible is the truth. I don't care what other people say. I don't care how intellectual they are. I don't care how great arguments they are. The Bible is true. And let God be true and every man be a liar. So we're not dependent on the ideology of this church or Noel's opinions. We're totally in submission to the Word of God and totally in dependence upon a Father who loves us greatly. We're not begging. We're not like, oh, I'll do this to gain your acceptance. You have Jesus, you have acceptance. You have Jesus, you have security. You have Jesus, you have significance. What you're being exposed in these days is the truth of God, and that every day, every week, there's not a week gone by in the last couple of months that I haven't been challenged not to live as an orphan. In my thinking, in my action. And this stuff is like, which world will I live out of? My own worldview. And now every time that worldview comes up, you have a challenge to it now. You have a truth that will demolish it. And I pray that God gives you the courage and the strength, and I release the grace of God for you to be the person that you really are.